Acorns are dropping off my Chinese house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a subway nature thing. It's a subway nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine.
Welcome to Yarns at Yin Hu, a podcast about the fiber arts and other post-apocalyptic skills. Episode 116, The Fuel That Feeds You. Sunday, April 17th, 2016. I'm your host, Sarah. You can find me on social media as Sarah Pomegranate. The Yarns at Yin Hu podcast has a Facebook page, and it's available on iTunes. Today's episode features some chin wagon with news and updates and an extended segment of Off the Shelf. April is National Poetry Month, so I thought I would use this episode to share some selected poems with you. After spending a good deal of my spring break trying to solve some technical problems with the podcast, finally, on Sunday evening, I figured out that a fix I had been using to correct a hidden feed was actually loading multiple MP3s onto each episode. And because of that additional file size, I was exceeding the capacity for FeedBurner to be able to accept the episodes and then push them to iTunes. So I have made an initial fix, and there may still be some problems with past episodes, but I'm systematically going back in my catalog and fixing up the files. Thank you to everyone who has been so supportive, and to everyone who told me that they were able to get recent episodes and that they were very excited to listen to them. I really appreciate that, and it makes going through the technical side of hosting a podcast much better, because when you decide that you want to host a podcast, you're really thinking about how much fun it will be and how many listeners you can reach, not how to deal with nagging little problems. I'd also like to thank Pine Tree Girl for a recent iTunes review. And the Yarns at Yin Hu podcast currently has 56 ratings and reviews on iTunes, which is excellent. So thank you, everyone, for taking the time to do that and for your very kind words. There is a knit-along going on in the Yarns at Yin Hu group. It's quite informal, and it focuses on two different patterns. The Headie by Isolde Teague that I have completed in very natural, soulful yarns. And then the Paper Cranes Shawl by Lori Versace, which I will be starting in a few weeks. The knit along extends through the end of June, and you can work on and or finish either of these patterns to participate in the knit along. Currently, I have one prize of a beautiful handcrafted shawl pin. There's a photo of it available on the Ravelry thread. And gradually, I believe I will be adding some additional prizes. The prize thread is a chatter thread, so I'll be drawing prizes for chatter and comments, as well as one grand prize for a finished object. This week, I've been knitting on two projects. I'm still working on a pair of ribbed socks on size 0 needles. The ribbing is kind of a pattern of my own design, but I have put in a fish lips kiss heel for the first time on these socks, and I'm looking forward to finishing them over the coming week. I think there will be good getaway knitting. So I might just save the work on the cuff of the second sock to complete during the getaway. I began these socks toe up and I am finishing them with a tubular bind off. Another project I've been working on is Bonnie. It's a tank top with a beautiful lace inset panel in lace weight yarn. I'm using a wool silk blend, and I have now begun the part of the pattern that includes the lace inset. Soon I will be dividing for the armhole openings and working right side and wrong side on the tank top. My hope was to complete this before the getaway. I'm not sure that that will happen, but it will definitely be done before the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival. And since that tends to be hot and sunny, I might be wearing that to the Maryland Sheep and Wool Festival. I also have plans for making a bias cut skirt to match that top in a deep purple linen. And after a lot of deliberation, I've decided to make another staple dress with some black cotton linen blend that I have. I think the staple dress is the most versatile, and lately I've been wearing a few of my staple dresses and people have been complimenting the drop hem. So I think I will make this black linen version a bit longer, but I think it will be a really versatile staple item for the summer months. This week, I've also been cooking with leafy greens. Hashtag Power Pantry is a project where I choose a new ingredient each month and focus on finding recipes, sometimes developing recipes of my own that really focus on that ingredient. And that's a good way for me to truly expand my skill set and not just keep making the same things that I'm always making. It also allows me to be a little more economical by purchasing a big quantity of something and then figuring out how to work that into dishes over the course of a week or maybe more. So recently I've made a recipe from Taproot magazine for spinach braised in coconut milk. This is a vegetarian dish. It came out really delicious. I think it's something where you could add tofu or meat if you wanted to, but the recipe calls for black beans and I didn't have any on hand, so I used chickpeas, but has a wonderful sweet hot flavor. It's delicious served over rice, and then later in the week, I added some mashed sweet potato to that as well. Something else I worked with this week is a recipe for meatless meatballs. I had some mushrooms in my refrigerator that were really past their prime. That often happens to me with produce in my refrigerator. I buy it having the best of intentions, and then it's difficult for me to find time to really make a complicated dish, or I'm just pulling out leftovers and I don't get to work with them. So I had these mushrooms and I just kept thinking about how to combine them with other ingredients and make some kind of a meatball. So I sauteed the mushrooms. I just chopped them any which way, like a really rough cut. And I put them with some onions and also quite a bit of grated carrot into my cast iron pan. And I sauteed that until it was softened, adding some garlic sort of at the last minute. And then I put all of that cooked vegetable into my food processor and made it into a very fine dice or paste almost. I added an egg yolk, quite a bit of panko breadcrumbs, and some different seasonings. And then I rolled these into balls. They were very soft and mushy. I think if I were to make this recipe again, I would add a great deal more breadcrumbs or try to dry out the mixture in the saute pan a little bit more, removing some more of the liquid from it. So I rolled this mixture into balls and then rolled the balls in panko breadcrumbs, put them on a cookie sheet and baked them in the oven for about 15 or 20 minutes, I suppose, until they were golden. And I served them over some pasta with sauteed spinach and kale. And they were really, really delicious. So I think that's a great way to use up some past their prime mushrooms, and definitely a recipe that I will continue to experiment with in the future. There is currently a contest going on the Yarns at Yinhu Ravelry group. It is a contest to win a beautiful set of Wonderland Yarns Gradient in lovely greens. The total is 430 yards, I believe, of a gradient set. It's 5 skeins. I think there are some really interesting things you might do with the set, or maybe combine those greens with another skein of yarn in your stash and make a beautiful large shawl with it. Lots and lots of options. All you need to do to get in on this contest is to make sure that you're a member of the Yarns at Yinhu group on Ravelry and head on over to the contest thread to make a post about your favorite green vegetable. Folks have been admitting to their love of kale, Brussels sprouts, green beans. There's really some excellent posts over there. And it's so wonderful to know that so many Yarns at Yinhu listeners are such healthy eaters. I love green vegetables. I was a bit of a victim in my childhood of things being overcooked. My mother never did, but my grandmothers and some other family members had the mentality of cooking vegetables until they were dead and lifeless on the plate. And for a long time, I thought I didn't like Brussels sprouts and some other vegetables. I just don't like them overcooked. My favorite, though, is string beans. They're okay if they're frozen. I definitely don't enjoy them canned or overcooked. But my favorite is purchasing green beans from the farmer's market or maybe getting some from a friend's garden and steaming them in salted water until they're just a little bit cooked, putting quite a bit of butter and salt on them. And then when you eat them, they have this quality, when they're perfectly done, in my opinion, they have this quality of sort of squeaking between your teeth. Those with a turkey burger or a baked potato out on the grill in the summer, it's just the ideal seasonal meal. So string beans have to be my favorite. But talk about your favorite and enter for a chance to win this beautiful gradient set. The Farm and Fiber Tour of Washington County, New York is coming up this weekend, April 22nd to 24th. I am so excited to be joining 20 folks who have decided to make this tour part of their weekend. I can't wait for everyone to meet one another and to have a great time touring farms and crafting together, sharing ideas, and dining on some excellent food. So if you are one of the folks that is coming along, I can't wait to see you on Friday for our chili dinner. And if you have been listening to news about the Farm and Fiber Tour of Washington County, New York, let me know if you're interested in taking part in a getaway next year, 2017, because I am thinking about hosting this event again, and certainly it would help me to know how many people might be interested so that I can proceed with my planning. Off the shelf. The remainder of this episode will be devoted to a little poetry reading. Last night, I went through my poetry bookshelves and just selected a few things that I thought would be interesting. There are some poets that I've mentioned before on the podcast, and some new poems that I thought were appropriate to the season or for other readings. I won't say too much about each one, but I will list the poem titles and the poets in the show notes for this episode. And I will also link to Poem in Your Pocket Day resources. April is National Poetry Month, as I mentioned, and many of the national organizations here in the United States work during the month of April to bring awareness about poetry, in particular contemporary poets, to Americans. And one of the campaigns is this thing called Poem in Your Pocket Day. This year, 2016, it's April 21st, which is a Thursday. And the way to celebrate Poem in Your Pocket Day is to choose a favorite poem or find a new to you poem. You could memorize it, or you could print a copy and keep it in your pocket or your wallet. And during the day, you could enjoy it in a very quiet way, like maybe you could take yourself out into a park or wooded area or other contemplative spot for lunch that day and just take a few moments to slow down and read your poem. Or if you're a bit more of an extrovert, you might share your poem with a coworker, a child, a family member, or even a stranger. In New York, there are tales about, you know, sharing poems on public transportation. There's also an effort citywide to post poems in subway stations and at bus stops and things like that. So I am going to link to some resources for Poem in Your Pocket Day in case you feel like celebrating. One thing you might consider, maybe for all the time or maybe just the month of April, is subscribing to one of the services that send you a poem a day in your inbox. And so it's a great way to, you know, get some new poems or just have a moment during your day when you take time out for everything else. One of the things about poetry is you really can't do it in a rush. If you're going to read or think about a poem, it's a forced slowing down. Another consideration is to tune in to Garrison Keillor's Almanac, which is just a few minutes of a radio subscription each day. Sometimes they're broadcast on public radio, but you can also listen or read those online, and he shares a poem each day. Sometimes he tells you a little bit about the poet as well. I'm going to begin and close this reading with poems by my favorite poet, Naomi Shihab Nye. This first one is called One Boy Told Me, and I'm not sure how old her son is now, but this poem focuses on a time when he was young and had some interesting ways of explaining things, reasoning, and asking questions. One Boy Told Me by Naomi Shihab Nye. Music lives inside my legs. It's coming out when I talk. I'm going to send my Valentines to people you don't even know. Oatmeal cookies make my throat gallop. Grown-ups keep their feet on the ground when they swing. I hate that. Look at those two O's with a smash in the middle. That spells goodbye. Don't ever say purpose again. Let's throw the word out. Don't talk big to me. I'm carrying my box of faces. If I want to change faces, I will. When I grow up, my old names will live in the house where we live now. I'll come and visit them. Only one of my eyes is tired. The other eye and my body aren't. Is it true all metal was liquid first? Does that mean if we bought our car earlier, they could have served it to us in a cup? There's a stopper in my arm that's not going to let me grow any bigger. I'll be like this always, small. And I will be deep water too. Wait, just wait. How deep is the river? Would it cover the tallest man with his hands in the air? Your head is a souvenir. When you were in New York, I could see you in real life walking in my mind. I'll invite a bee to live in your shoe. What if you found your shoe full of honey? What if the clock said 6:92 instead of 6:30? Would you be scared? My tongue is the car wash for the spoon. Can noodles swim? My toes are dictionaries. Do you need any words? From now on, I'll only drink white milk on January 26th. What does minus mean? I never want to minus you. Just think, no one has ever seen inside this peanut before. It is hard being a person. I do and don't love you. Isn't that happiness? The next poem in this reading is from an anthology called Poetry 180. It is from 2003, and this was a project of Poet Laureate Billy Collins when he was U.S. Poet Laureate. Each U.S. Poet Laureate is required to have some kind of project that brings love and interest of poetry to Americans, not in a precious, rarefied kind of way, but an accessible way. Billy Collins is a poet laureate who's probably best known for the ways he's made poetry accessible to Americans and to English speakers in general. He put these collections together and they really became incredibly popular with high school teachers in particular, because they were great poems that you could share with students. And the idea of Poetry 180 is there was one poem for each day of the school year. You could use it to generate discussion in your class, or you could just read it and say nothing, but just get the students used to considering poetry in their daily lives. The man into whose yard you should not hit your ball, by Thomas Lux. The man into whose yard you should not hit your ball, each day mowed and mowed his lawn, his dry quarter acre, the machine slicing a wisp from each blade's tip. Dust storms rose around the roar, 6 p.m. every day, spring, summer, fall. If he could mow the snow, he would. On one side, his neighbors, the cows, turned their backs to him and did what they do to the grass. Where he worked, I don't know, but it set his jaw too tight. His wife, a cipher, shoebox tissue, a shattered apron, as if into her head he drove a wedge of shale. Years later, his daughter goes to jail. Mow, mow, mow his lawn, gently down a decade's summers. On his other side lived mine and me, Across a narrow pasture, often fallow, a field of flyballs, the best part of childhood and baseball. But if a ball crossed his line, as one did in 1956 and another in 1958, it came back coleslaw. His lawnmower ate it up, happy to cut something no matter what the manual said about foreign objects, stones, or sticks. This next poem is by Alice Oswald from her small collection called Woods, Etc. Alice Oswald is known for her writing of nature poetry and poetry with images of the natural world. This one is titled Field, and it contains a few examples of something I tend to notice very frequently since becoming involved in the fiber arts, and that is the abundance of words and terms related to fiber in poetry. So things like knit, spin, thread, fiber, silk, there are verbs, nouns, texture words, all different kinds of vocabulary. And when you read writing through that lens and you're thinking about fiber arts and the rich history there and how long working with fiber has been a part of the human experience, it's a very interesting way to experience literature and poetry in particular. Field by Alice Oswald. Easter night, the mines midwinter. I stood in the big field behind the house at the center of all visible darkness. A brick of earth, a block of sky. There lay the world, wedged between its premise and its conclusion. Some star let go a small sound on a thread. Almost midnight, I could feel the earth soaking darkness squeeze and fill its darkness, everything spinning into the spasm of midnight. And for a moment, this high field, unhorizoned, hung upon nothing, barking for its owner. The next two poems are by Michael Chitwood from his book called The Weave Room. And this is a collection of poetry focused on a textile mill. I'll read a small paragraph from the back cover. The poems in The Weave Room reveal the life of a textile mill as it weathers a decisive social and human moment. Whether speaking in the voice of a weaver trying to quell a crowd about to turn violent over unionization, or in his own voice as one of the mill's employees, Chitwood brings together many social and historical threads to show the pattern of a people and a place that has received little treatment in American poetry. I enjoyed this book very much when I first encountered it during my MFA study. And now that I have experience in the fiber arts, it is even more meaningful to me. And so I've been rereading it this month. I will read the title poem and another short poem. Weave Room, Baptism. The air is kept full of water to save the yarn. Every word floats away like a bubble, soundless. This drowning is for a living. At the end of a shift, they are rinsed in the sound of it, the smell in their hair like the musk of the lake. When they come out, they find their faithful words waiting. And this also by Michael Chitwood is called The Preaching. He would pace the 100 alley. keeping an eye on the sample runs, checking his looms like the master watches his flock. But when he'd really get going, it was hard to think he saw anything, the way his head tilted back and his eyes half closed as he stalked up the alley and back, working the gospel over in his mouth, jabbing at the truth with his finger. He didn't even know he was doing it. His mind was plunged so deep in the idea of God. It seemed like a fever, his face flushed, ears burnished, and neck nearly purple where it met his white t-shirt. The joke was, anybody who wore his cloth would go off like a Minuteman missile come the rapture. But the supervisor said, jokes aside, he had the lowest defect rate in the whole plant, and they gave him every tricky sample run, and he'd talk it through. This poem is titled Part of Eve's Discussion. It's by Marie Howe, and it's the first in her collection called The Good Thief. Marie Howe writes about loss, spirituality, the sacred, illness. She writes some deeply personal poetry, but she also writes in the voice of other women, trying to forge a deeper connection with them. And I think this part of Eve's discussion is an excellent example of that. It was like the moment when a bird decides not to eat from your hand and flies just before it flies. The moment the rivers seem to still and stop because a storm is coming. But there is no storm. As when 100 starlings lift and bank together before they wheel and drop. Very much like the moment driving on bad ice when it occurs to you your car could spin, just before it slowly begins to spin. Like the moment just before you forgot what it was you were about to say. It was like that. And after that, it was still like that, only all the time. I will close this segment with a trio of poems by Naomi Shihab Nye. Hidden. If you place a fern under a stone, the next day it will be nearly invisible, as if the stone has swallowed it. If you tuck the name of a loved one under your tongue too long without speaking it, it becomes blood, sigh, the little sucked-in breath of air hiding everywhere beneath your words. No one sees the fuel that feeds you. The time. Summer is the time to write. I tell myself this in winter, especially. Summer comes. I want to tumble with the river over rocks and mossy dams. A fish drifting upside down. Slow accordions sweeten the breeze. The sanitary mattress factory says, sleep is life. Why do I think of 40 ways to spend an afternoon? Yesterday someone said, it gets late so early. I wrote it down. I was going to do something with it. Maybe it is a title, and this life is the poem. And finally, by Naomi Shihab Nye, a poem titled, I Still Have Everything You Gave Me. I still have everything you gave me. It is dusty on the edges, slightly rotten. I guard it without thinking. Focus on it once a year when I shake it out in the wind. I do not ache. I would not trade.
Acorns are dropping off my Jenny's house. Two ducks in my spyglass, fiery as a mouse. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Leaves are down like a lady, waiting for a naked man. River bends like an elbow, turning stone to sand. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. Sycamore trees are blazing like a rainbow fire, just like Linda Curtis, but out on a wire. It's a silly nature thing. It's a silly nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, I hope you will consider leaving a star rating or a review on iTunes, or liking the show's Facebook page, or joining the Yarns at Yinhu group on Ravelry. The music for the episode is Sweet, music and lyrics by Samuel St. Thomas, performed by Krista Long and Cesar Diaz. Eat well and stay strong as you hone your post-apocalyptic skill set this week.
Nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing. It's a mighty fine nature thing.